Sasha.
And this is Eli. And you're listening to WGXC Acra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today we are going to hear about a march of activists from New York City to Albany that ends today in Albany. We'll hear from Ivy Hest of the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement about the march that's asking for $3 billion in the state budget to assist undocumented immigrants and those and other excluded workers who are currently ineligible for various federal and state COVID economic relief programs. We'll also hear the local Better Weather from the Catskill Makers Syndicate and national headlines from the Public News Service. On the WGXC Morning Show, it all starts after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned.
Controlled. Blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit DedicatedPresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Glen Falls House in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Bro in the WGXC newsroom with the WGXC local news for Wednesday, March 23rd. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Andrea Macco reports for Porcupine Soup that according to Greene County District Attorney Joseph Stanzioni, the now former county coroner Paul Sini failed to disclose a previous criminal conviction when he applied for a pistol permit. That is why Sini was arrested on March 11th by the county sheriff's office and charged with first degree offering a false instrument for filing. Quote, Sini was charged with filing a false instrument with respect to a pistol permit application that resulted in a permit being issued to him a few years ago, unquote, said Stanzioni. A story in the Royal Gazette, a Bermuda newspaper, shows Sini is a convicted felon stemming from a case there more than 30 years ago. Sini, who was 22 at the time, quote, was sentenced in September 1991 to 71 years in prison for his part in the drug ring that brought nearly $1.5 million worth of cocaine to Bermuda, unquote, according to the newspaper. But that sentence was reduced to 5 years in exchange for Sini's testimony against the drug cartel. He pleaded guilty to conspiring to import more than 1,000 grams of cocaine from July to September of 1990, according to the paper. Sini, a Republican, was elected in 2019 and took office as a county coroner in January 2020. He resigned without explanation on February 17th. A question on the state pistol permit application asks, quote, have you ever been arrested, summoned, charged, or indicted anywhere for any offense, including DWI, except traffic infractions, unquote. The applicant is advised that knowingly providing false information is sufficient cause to deny the application and constitutes a crime. Following his arrest, Sini was arraigned and released on his own recognizance. Sini is the president and owner of Richard's Funeral Home in Cairo and Athens and W.C. Brady's Sons in Coxsackie. Read more about the story at Porcupine Soup. Natasha Von Holdridge reports for Columbia Green Media that incidents of vandalism centered on two boys' bathrooms in the Germantown Junior Senior High School have recently taken place, and school district officials have decided to address the problem by keeping those bathrooms open. There have been no incidents of vandalism or vaping in the girls' restrooms. Quote, it was stuffing toilets with paper towels, writing graffiti, vaping in the bathrooms, congregation of students while they're supposed to be in class, unquote, Superintendent Benjamin Bragg said. The vandalism has required the staff to put in extra time to clean the rooms, Bragg said. Since high school principal James DiDano made the decision to keep the doors open, the vandalism and vaping have stopped. Quote, it has been brought to our attention that some individuals have an issue with the junior-senior high school boys' bathroom being permanently opened, unquote. DiDano wrote in a letter to district parents last week. Quote, just for everyone's information, the elementary bathrooms are permanently opened as well. We have had two ongoing issues with these particular bathrooms, unquote. Bragg said keeping the doors open does not present any privacy issues. Quote, the bathroom stalls and the urinals are not visible from outside the bathroom with the doors open, unquote, he said. Quote, we're doing the best we can until we find the culprit. Unfortunately, we can't pinpoint who it is. In other districts I've been in, kids do the same thing and I was able to afford monitors. This district is very tight with its budget and it's not affordable for us, unquote, Bragg said. There are no cameras trained on the bathrooms, Didana said. Quote, if privacy is an issue, we have other single-person use bathrooms available to all our students, unquote, he wrote. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com. Capital Tonight reports that Governor Kathy Hochul recently announced that New York is distributing nearly $24 million in federal funding to domestic violence programs and shelters, sexual assault programs, and rape crisis centers statewide. According to Leah Feldman, Chief Program Officer at Family Services in Dutchess County, the grant will help domestic violence and rape crisis programs expand on-site COVID-19 testing and vaccinations, offset fiscal challenges caused by the pandemic, help reach underserved communities, and support the recent increase in survivors seeking help. The funding comes via the Family Violence Prevention Services Act in the Federal American Rescue Plan. Feldman calls the funding a critical relief to programs that have been underfunded since the pandemic. Quote, in the early days of the lockdown, we noted a decrease in reported domestic violence incidents. Not that we don't believe it was happening, but there was far less access to support or the ability to report, unquote, Feldman said. Quote, if anything, what we did see was an increase in the severity and complexities of reported cases of domestic violence, unquote. Feldman said this trend was due to a number of reasons, including stay-at-home orders and isolation. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, WGXC.org.
Welcome to the video rental store in your mind.
Looking for something to watch, but feeling overwhelmed by all the options?
Feeling unsatisfied with all the boring, restrictive categories like romance and drama or horror?
Tune in to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda every second and fourth Tuesday at 7 p.m. and get turned on to movie genres like eco-horror,
unsettling kids movies,
alien boyfriends,
creepy therapy.
Start listening so you can start watching today.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, March 23rd. Morning lows range from 24 in Windham to 31 in Bull's Head, all solidly below freezing. Just a reminder, spring has not fully sprung yet. Soil temperatures dropped a little bit to currently 45 degrees for the regional average. There will be a warm-up today, atmospherically at least, 51 degrees by 3 p.m. Winds will be calmer than yesterday, making conditions chilly this morning and cool this afternoon. Light rain starts up around 4 p.m. and it continues through dusk, getting stronger after midnight. A low of 35 happens near dawn as the rain continues to gently soak the ground all of Thursday. A high of 47 is expected. Overnight, more rain and a low of 38. Friday, the afternoon finally dries out and we see a high of 57. The weekend, however, is looking moist and chilly. Pollen levels for the coming days are going to be low due to the incoming rain. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 1:21 a.m., then high tide at 7:20 a.m. Low tide again at 2:16 p.m. and high tide once again at 7:54 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 41 degrees. Sunset today will be at 6:56 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:50 a.m. Looking way up, we see a coronal mass ejection is due to cause minor geomagnetic disturbances today. Solar wind speed is currently 420 kilometers per second at 9.2 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 29. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
On Thursday, March 24th, the Mountaintop Historical Society hosts an event called Three Extraordinary Ordinary Women of the Mountaintop, and it's a Zoom meeting that celebrates the life of Justine Hummel, the hunter historian for 3 decades and co-founder of the Mountaintop Historical Society, Bernadine Wesley, an engineer and civil rights activist, as well as a member of the Hunter Planning Board for 10 years, and Sidonia Paulus, the managing editor of the Windham Journal for 28 years. Deborah Allen, Johanna Titus, and Cindy LaPierre will speak about these three women of the mountaintop Thursday, March 24th at 7 p.m. on a Zoom from the Mountaintop Historical Society. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information about this event and many others, and you can add your own event there to be read on the radio and read by millions around the world at the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jenny Getty of Red Hook, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Senator, I have not reviewed any of those books, any of those ideas. They don't come up in my work as a judge, which I'm respectfully here to address.
On her second day of confirmation hearings, Supreme Court nominee Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson responded to Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz on whether she would be comfortable with books on critical race theory being taught to young children. Criticism of Judge Jackson's decisions on cases involving child sexual assault content continued. Missouri Representative Josh Hawley and other Republican lawmakers have called Judge Jackson too lenient in such cases. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin countered Congress's lack of action on federal legislation to protect children affects court rulings.
We have created a situation because of our inattention and unwillingness to tackle an extremely controversial area in Congress and left it to the judges. And I think we have to accept some responsibility for that, Senator.
Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby announced Tuesday an independent panel will review suicides in the military.
One problem that we have to get after is the stigma of seeking help for mental health problems, which is still a problem in the military.
The Suicide Prevention and Response Independent Review Committee will focus on 9 bases stateside and overseas, including 3 in Alaska, where the Army has seen an alarming jump in suicides in the past year. Ukrainian forces have fought off Russian efforts to occupy Mariupol and claim to have retaken a suburb of Kyiv. State Department spokesperson Ned Price says Ukraine will continue to receive weapons and equipment assistance.
It is then up to them to use that equipment to good effect against these invading Russian forces.
The U.S. could find itself with too few COVID-19 tests if Congress fails to authorize new funds and cases surge, White House officials warned. Rapidly falling demand for tests is leading some manufacturers to cut back, with shipments of molecular tests falling more than 50% in the last month. Meanwhile, coronavirus infections are rebounding in Europe, up more than 36% in the U.K. in the past week. 2 Republican governors, Spencer Cox of Utah and Eric Holcomb of Indiana, have vetoed bills this week that would have banned young transgender athletes from participating in girls' sports. The vetoes signal a sharply different approach to the issue than the 11 fellow Republican governors who have recently signed similar measures into law. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7. FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Ivy Hest, who is with the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. And on Wednesday, March 23rd, there's an end of a march and a rally at the state capitol eventually. For excluded workers who are trying to get money into the state budget to replenish their fund, also trying to get health care coverage for excluded workers, as well as unemployment insurance. So, Ivy, why is this so important?
Well, when the pandemic started, everybody was suffering. It was hard for everybody. But what happened was that the state and federal governments gave, stimulus funds and other sorts of relief to citizens and skipped our excluded workers, undocumented folks, folks that were left out of other kinds of state and federal programs. And so it's been 2 years for approximately 175,000 excluded workers who have had no relief, no support, and have just been trying to survive while supporting everybody else and getting through the pandemic.
Now, I should note this is being taped on Tuesday, March 22nd, while the rally is going to take place on March 23rd. But I understand that people have been marching across the state and stopping at various points, at least along the Hudson Valley.
Absolutely. Yeah. We started off in downtown New York City, made it to the Bronx, made it to Newburgh on Sunday. We were down in Kingston yesterday with a whole about 100 folks talking to our elected officials up there. There have been rallies all across the state in Buffalo, in Syracuse. We're all making our way to Albany to come together on Wednesday.
Yeah, and I do understand that Wednesday, the march will be starting, I believe, around noon at the Amtrak station in Rensselaer, and then moving over by about 1:15 to the East Capitol Park, for a rally. Now, of course, the One House budgets proposals in both the Senate and Assembly came out last week. How did these issue undocumented workers fare in those One House budget resolutions?
Well, there were some real victories. Coverage for all was included, which will give undocumented immigrants access to health insurance. But there's no money in the pockets of immigrants in the budget. So we've been left out, and there's been no permanent safety net created in this budget for excluded workers, which means that, healthcare is important and we've been fighting for it for a long time. We're grateful for it. Healthcare doesn't pay the bills. Rent relief is so important and, good cause eviction, right? We need these protections, but folks are falling behind on heat, on their medical bills, on all kinds of expenses that they just can't keep up with, with cut hours, with reduced work, folks getting laid off. And, we actually need to support folks so that they can reinvest in their economy. So we've been left out of the budget, and that's why we are coming together with thousands of folks we're expecting to make it clear that, the rainy day fund is the rainy day is now for immigrants. And we need to support those folks who got us through the pandemic. We applauded them at the beginning of the pandemic, and we need to make sure that they can survive and get out of this crisis the way everybody else was supported.
Can you tell us a little bit about, who are these individuals who fall into this category of undocumented workers who are seeking relief?
So excluded workers are folks who have been excluded from all state and federal pandemic support. So these are folks who are working the farms. We had a community member, Nelson, talking about how when folks got sent home to work remotely, he was still out there making sure that you had cream for your coffee and cheese for your lunch. So these are folks who are working the fields, they're working the restaurants, they're domestic workers, they're healthcare workers, they're folks who were out there throughout the whole time who really need the support. And often we ignore undocumented workers. It's not exclusively undocumented workers who are excluded from these programs, but it's been so hard for these communities. And New York was a leader last year in passing the Excluded Worker Fund, but that fund ran out in just 9 weeks. With 75,000 people left that were just denied the funds, who applied and applied too late. And then we estimate about 175,000 people who never even applied for the funds, didn't know about it in time, particularly upstate. A lot of folks did not have access to the fund in time.
Now, you work with the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. What's been the local impact upon excluded workers?
So locally, it's the distribution of the Excluded Worker Fund was off balance. And I say that knowing that New York City has a whole lot more immigrants and a whole lot more people in general, right? So we expect that more funds would go downstate than upstate. That makes sense. But the reality is that a surprising number of upstate folks never wound up applying. And that's due to a whole lot of barriers that aren't a surprise up here, right? We don't have state, we have the capital, but if you're a farm worker in Greene County who doesn't have their own car, how are you going to get up to these consulates to make sure that you have all of your documents? There's it takes weeks in order to get these things. The Mexican consulate only comes to Newburgh once every other month. Some folks who were, I think it's El Salvador, had to drive to New Jersey in order to get some of their documents. And so these things take time. And we had exactly 9 weeks when the thing started and closed in order to apply for these things. So upstate New York really didn't benefit as much as we had expected we would, with a lot of folks who fought for the fund who didn't even get to receive the funds in time before it closed. So the excluded worker fund is an unfulfilled promise to immigrants, and that's why we're marching.
Sort of a two-part question. You know, normally the One House budget resolutions, which occur about 2 weeks before the so-called April 1st deadline for the final budget, is considered sort of a make or break, that if you don't make it into that One House budget resolution, at least one of the houses, you're not going anywhere. So the two-part question is, why didn't you make it in? And then the second part is, what gives you hope that you can still squeeze into the budget?
Some elected officials that we're hearing are putting the onus on the federal government to step in. But we've seen time and time again that New York is the state that is able to take the lead to show the rest of the country how it's done. If we don't finish this program, if we don't show folks that it's possible and the kind of impact that it really have in really saving lives in upstate New York, then who's going to do it, right? So after the excluded worker fund passed in New York State, other campaigns to have it an excluded worker fund popped up all around the country. And that's because New York was a leader here, but the funds ran out too quickly. And so we can't just say, you know, we can't just show that we made this thing and not actually follow through on this promise. We're hopeful because the budget's not done. And, you know, Governor Hochul seems it fit to make some deals with multi-billionaires around the Buffalo Bills and this and the new stadium that will cost $1 billion. There are rainy day funds. We are in a surplus. This is the first year, I think, in a long time that we are that we're in a really good financial position. And now's the time to reinvest in our communities and those folks who are going to be left behind, who are going to be generationally hurt for a long time. Because if once you fall behind on one thing, it just snowballs.
We've been talking with Ivy Hess from the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement rally on Wednesday, March 23rd. 12 noon starts march from the Rensselaer County Amtrak Station, rally 115, East Capitol Park. Ivy, if people want more information, there's a website.
SanctuaryColumbiaCounty.org, or visit our Facebook page at Facebook.com/CCSMNY.
And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
tell them about it. Hit it where it hurts.
Hey, cool thing. Come here. Sit down beside me. There's something I gotta ask you. I just wanna know, what are you gonna do for me? I mean, are you gonna liberate us girls from male, white, corporate oppression?
Tell like it is.
Huh?
Yeah.
Don't be shy.
Word up.
Fear of the female planet.
Fear. Female planet. Fear, baby.
I just want you to know that we can still be friends.
Let everyone quiet know.
Nurses at Champlain Valley Physicians Hospital in Plattsburgh have been working without a contract for 2 years, and they're urging hospital administration to come to the table to negotiate. Members of the New York State Nurses Association at CVPH include not only registered nurses, but also pharmacists, physician assistants, nurse practitioners, nutritionists, and laboratory staff, among others. Emergency room RN at CVPH, Liz Craigmile, says in the last decade, the nurses' pension, morale among workers, and standards of care at the hospital have been slowly disintegrating.
We're trying to negotiate a contract that includes safe staffing, fair pay, and, you know, the benefits that we currently have continuing. It's never a good idea to stretch nursing at the bedside so thin. Safe standards exist for a reason.
She says the union fought for high-quality health insurance in their last contract negotiation, but the University of Vermont Health Network, which runs the hospital, is aiming to pull that back. Union members picketed last week to try to put pressure on administration to start new negotiations. Craigmile adds the network has imposed restructuring that created issues with nurse-patient ratios, and they're filling positions with expensive travel nurses instead of working on recruitment and retention.
We've been experiencing a brain drain of qualified, say, 3 to 5 year intermediate level nurses. And most of that has come from the fact that administration here continues to fail to entice them to stay by denying them a fair and legal contract and attempting to take away their health care.
Research shows having lower nurse-to-patient ratios makes a big difference for the patients, nurses, and hospital. For instance, hospitals with one nurse for every 8 patients experience on average 5 additional deaths per 1,000 patients than hospitals who have one nurse for every 4 patients. And the research says safe staffing reduces turnover, which saves the hospital money. It costs about $82,000 to $88,000 to replace a registered nurse. This is Lily Bulkey with New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators for transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Thank you.
That was 13 Ways of Looking from drummer Chris Corsano from Ithaca and Bill Orcutt from their 2021 album Made Out of Sound.
Let's go higher now.
Thank you.
Let's go higher now.
Carry a message of peace and unity to the farthest reaches of the universe.
That was from electronic artist Burial from the 2021 EP Shock Power of Love. The song was called Space Cadet.
Thank you.
That was the Chicago-based band Tortoise from their 1996 album Millions Now Living Will Never Die. The song was Along the Banks of Rivers.